Turn your Bibles, will, to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, in our consideration of this book, Solomon writing, the father speaking to his children, our Heavenly Father speaking to us. Reiteration and much redundancy in these passages, but we need that. And a lot of different ways to say the same thing, and those different ways come at us that we might get it. Hasn't it been that way with you? Certainly been that way with me. Somebody would say something or describe something or explain something a certain way, and I'd get it, you know, and that's the way we are. We just, the Lord speaks to us through His Word that way, and gives us much instruction in it. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I tell you what, this is a great verse. It's saying here that even to be poor, even to be poor in the things of this earth, the things of this life, maybe even being poor in ability, maybe our ability would be just very, very little, but better to be there and walk in integrity than anything else. And here the example is given that he that is perverse in his lips has a perverse speech, has a perverse conversation, and the Scripture says is a fool. What is integrity? What is integrity? Is integrity self-righteousness? Is integrity righteousness? Is integrity innocence? Is integrity obedience? From what I see and what I understand about this word integrity, it's connected very much with our character. And it's connected very much with our fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's namely, as I understand it, speaking about innocence, okay? Being innocent. As an example, I haven't said much about this in a while, so I'll say it about this. Do you tithe? Do you tithe on what the Lord profits you and what you gain, okay? Not if you've got a business, not the gross on your business, but the profit that you make from your business. If you work for an employer, the gross that you make from that employer. If you have other things that you do, maybe on a farm or a business or whatever it is, and selling stuff, providing services or whatever, do you tithe? Do you give offerings on that? Do I? I'm to do so too. Yeah, even though I'm the pastor of the church and a minister and provided for from the ministry, I'm to do so too. Do you? If you do, if you obey the Lord in that, you are innocent in it. You're not guilty of transgressing that. And so that's what it's talking about as an example. There's some things that I am not innocent in. I need to change those in my life. No doubt you, as you evaluate your life, maybe that's the case with you. We have those things that are public. We have those things that are known by the world, those things that are known by our church, those things known by our family, those things known by our spouse, those things that are known just to us and the Lord. It's that way. And so there are degrees in this life and such. I want you to turn over here to the book of Job. And let's just take an evaluation here about this word integrity. And the word here used in this book is the feminine, the Hebrew dictionary and such that I use. It says it's the feminine of this word that we've seen here in Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 1, integrity. This is the feminine of that, but it's right there close related to it, okay? I think it's just a difference in the speech, not so much a difference in the meaning. Innocence. You know the account of Job. You know how it is that the Lord brought the attention of Job to God. He was a faithful man. He very well may have been a priest of the Lord, possibly. I don't know that for sure. He certainly filled that office of priest for his household and for his family. He was in that place. We see that. We see that example of other men that are mentioned in the Scripture. One day I want to take all those fellows and consider them all together sometime and see about the significance of them and how the Lord used them and worked in their lives. He was a great man in the East, and he offered sacrifices for his children. And then Satan comes up and appears before the Lord, and the Lord says in chapter 1, verse 8, have you considered my servant Job? And well, listen to what the Lord says about him, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. That was the Lord's testimony of Job. There are some that believe that maybe at this point in time Job wasn't saved. I believe that he is. I believe that's a testimony here that's given. He is the Lord. He is a servant of the Lord. And of course, it can be argued that every man is not the servant of the Lord. Some heathen kings, the Lord said that they were his servant. You know, so all souls belong to the Lord. But I believe that Job was a saved man. Myself. And of course, Satan throws it back to the Lord and says, well, he's serving you because look what you do for him. You have built a hedge about him. You take good care of him. You bless him. Satan knew about the hedge because he evidently tried to get through it and couldn't. Amen? You know, so the Lord's protecting Job. The Lord, seemingly to me, about this book about Job, is that the Lord had blessed Job, had touched Job, had saved him just like he saved you and me, and blessed him in his life. But then he wanted to take Job on to the next level. I believe that's the whole account about Job is that Job was there, and he said, and this is the testimony of the Lord, none like him in all the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. That was a testimony of God about Job. Okay, not the testimony of Job about himself. If you will, Job had integrity, didn't he? Before the Lord, he was innocent. Now, was he perfect? I mean, I'm talking about sinless perfection. No, and it's not. It cannot be with a man. It cannot be. Job even speaks about some of those things in the Scripture and about the dealings that he has with his heart. And things that he has to do in regard to his heart and protecting his heart and such as that. But of course, you know the account. The Lord backs away in verse number 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And that's all the Lord did was his back up, didn't he? He exposed Job. He took down the hedge except for his person. You know the accounts. His wealth was taken. His children died. He didn't lose them, I don't believe. All the stuff was doubled, but he had seven children more. So I don't believe that he lost them. The Sabians and the Chaldeans came and wreaked havoc with his stuff. And listen to what it says in verse 22 of this first chapter. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And all that, was he being chastised by the Lord? No. We don't have anything that tells us about that. Is the Lord working in Job? We know by the end of the book that he is. Is Job a man like you? Is he a man like we are? Yes. Job is not a super Christian. But he believes God, takes God at his word, and trusts him for what he says. And so, and then all that thing, he said in verse 21, I came out of my mother's womb naked, and I'll return naked to the earth, if you will. The Lord has given, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't. Well, what's the easiest way we can sin? Well, we can sin in our heart and our mind. We can sin with our mouth. Very easy, can't we? James tells us that. And so, in chapter 2, Satan comes back around and before the Lord. And in verse number 3, the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Listen to what the Lord adds. "And still he holdeth fast his integrity, his innocence." He's not guilty of sinning against God with his mouth. He's not guilty sinning against God in his action. He has integrity. That's what that word integrity means. "Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." So there the Lord says that it's not because of chastisement or anything such as that. James tells us in chapter 1 of that book, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Why? Because the Lord's working. Those are tests of the Lord. And may the Lord help us when we're tested of the Lord. We are going to be tested of the Lord. And you know what? The only thing that's going to help us in being tested by the Lord, the only place we're going to find a blessing, the only place we're going to find help, the only place that we're going to find a solid rock refuge is believing what He says in His Word.
Amen.
Because nothing else will stand. Everything else will be sinking sand. You know what? And you know, I'm pastor of the church, and I'm to break open the Word of God to you and to feed you and such as that, and even in things such as this. But you know what? I may need you to remind me of that sometime. I don't want to ever take the thing that I'm telling you because I've got it all together. I'm telling you that this is what the Word of God says, and it's good for all of us. And it's right for all of us. Everything that God says, "Well, but my situation's like this, Brother Jim, or my circumstance's like this." But, you know, you don't understand how this situation is. What's the Word of God say about it? Because that's the way that it is for all of us, is what God's Word says about it. And so, the Lord said, He is holding His integrity. He is innocent in sinning against me. And then you know how it is that the Lord backs away from Job's flesh, if you will. The hedge is dropped regarding his body. And the only thing that Satan can't do is take his life. The only thing that he can't do is take his life. And in verse number 9 of chapter 2, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" Your innocence. Now get this over with. Curse God, because in cursing God, what would Job do? Well, being a child of God, he would bring the chastisement of the Lord upon him. Curse God and die. Curse God and die. Even his wife, even Job's wife, had come to the point of despairing of life for her husband and maybe even despairing of life for herself. You know, she thinks she knows what the answer is. She's going to have 7 more children if we understand Scripture right. Job's got a lot of life yet to live yet. And she thinks she knows the answer. But where's the answer? The answer's in the Lord, isn't it? Said, "Do you still hold your integrity? You still hold your innocence? Go ahead, curse God and die." But he said unto her, verse 10, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." What? "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" That's not wicked. Okay? It's not wickedness. There's a difference in that. And this relevance is relative to the flesh. Okay? Because did all of this work out for a blessing for Job? Yeah. Job, what is it that it says at the end of the book? Does it not say that Job says, "I've heard you, but now I see you"? Right? I think that's along the line. Let me see if I can find that. Let's have that in our hearts and minds. Here you go. Chapter 42. And the Lord deals with Job, and where Job needs to be rebuked, and Job needs to be brought along and helped. The Lord, this is all by the design of the Lord. This is to bring Job farther in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and that in him a testimony of righteousness will abound to his God. That's the purpose of it. And Job 42, and Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. May we remember that. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job said, I've meddled in some things that I shouldn't have. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. Or this is... And declare thou, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Job's relationship before the Lord, he says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. See, the more that we see of the Lord, Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, and from seeing the glory of the Lord, he was brought in a place of self abhorrence, but it put him in a place to where he could be used of the Lord to write that book. You see that? I mean, it's when we see how low we are, and we need to live for the Lord, and we need to live positively for the Lord, and we need to claim the promises of God and believe and trust Him, follow Him, and know and be filled with the joy of the Lord. We do. But when we see the glory of the Lord, it'll put us in our place. And that will help us, and what we will be used of the Lord yet even more is to lift up His name higher, if you will. And so, here He says, I've heard you, but now, I see you. He got more from the Lord, didn't he? He was drawn closer to the Lord in this situation. And so, during the course of this working, and of course you know about his three friends, and boy, they're something. The Lord has something to say about them. He said, listen here, let's read about these guys in verse 7. And it was so, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. He said, the Lord goes on to say, he said, ask him to pray for you. I will forgive you. Ask Job to offer a sacrifice for you, and I'll forgive you. In verse 8, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Now, I want you to, an interesting point, and I didn't want to get off in Job this much, but evidently that's what we're supposed to do. I trust that's the case. Do you realize that some of these fellows and some of the things that they have said are quoted in the New Testament scriptures? The thing that they said and the things that they brought forth are true and right, but they didn't apply them right. See, that's the thing. They didn't apply them right. The things that they said, some of those things that these men said are actually quoted in the New Testament scriptures. But the thing is that this quarrel, what the Lord has against them, is they didn't apply it. Job was not guilty of sinning against God, and this was not chastisement against Job. This was the Lord working in Job to prove and to do according to his infinite will, and to take his son and to cause him to grow even more. That's what it was for. It was there. It was done so it might be written about for you and me. Hear that? The Lord brought this, I believe, an element of the Lord bringing this or allowing this to come on Job and then working in Job and causing him to grow and to bring him to the next level of fellowship with the Lord and understanding of the Lord was done so this could be written for you and me. May the Lord help us to hear. May the Lord help us to hear about the integrity of Job. He deals with these friends, the three friends. I tell you what, I like the young man that comes along. There's a young man, there's the three friends, but then there's a young man here that comes along later in the book. And that man speaks right. The Lord didn't have a quarrel with him, did he? Because he did speak right. Job deals with his friends and he says, God forbid, in chapter 27, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. He said, I'm innocent. I don't understand why this is going on, but I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I'm innocent of the things that you've accused me of. I'm innocent before the Lord. Listen to what Job says. Are you and I willing to say this in Job chapter 31, verse 6? Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Now the Lord may have dealt with him in some things that maybe only the Lord and Job knew about. The public didn't know about it. His family didn't know about it. His wife didn't know about it. His friends didn't know about it. They were guessing. But Job said, let me be weighed. Let me be weighed before the Lord. May God help us that we would be in a fellowship and an obedience with the Lord, that we would be willing to be weighed of the Lord. Remember how David said, purge me with hyssop? I want to be cleaner than I am, Lord. Boy, I tell you what, we got to be ready to step up to ask the Lord for that. But that'll be closer fellowship with the Lord. Is it for real? Is it a game with us? May the Lord help us in that. Now, I'm not looking to be critical. These are sobering things. This is the Lord dealing with eternal souls that He has saved. In Proverbs chapter 11, we've read it, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, being innocent of sinning against God. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors, or what? It'll destroy them, bring them to destruction. Disobeying the Lord will bring us to destruction. It will. The just man walketh in his integrity. The next chapter, Proverbs 20, says, the just man walketh in his innocence. His children are blessed after him. What a blessing for children in the first or second and third and fourth generation to not have to bear the sins of the fathers. Amen? Because the Lord does reckon things that way. My sin can be bore by my children, by my grandchildren, by my great-grandchildren, by my great-great-grandchildren. I need to listen to what the Lord says and believe Him. And trust Him in it and obey Him in it and rest Him in it and not want something else, not covet something else. Amen? Let's look over here in Psalm 7. In Psalm 7, look over here. Look what David says. In Psalm 7, verse 1, O Lord my God, there's been some words of Cush the Benjamite, which is, if I understand that right, this may be the father of Saul, okay? Saul, King Saul. And this is a rambling poem, that Shigayon, that David writes, as it says there in the notes at the beginning of it. And so possibly King Saul's father has said something, and David goes to the Lord about it. Okay? O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest He tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. See, Saul had gone against David. David being chosen of the Lord to be a king over his people, and the Lord having the prophet anoint him as such. Don't you know Saul and all of Saul's household and everybody with Saul would get jealous about that? Maybe this was a threat by Saul's father, if in fact this Cush is Kish, the father of Saul. Listen to what he says. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. If I'm guilty of what they're accusing me of, Lord, then bring those enemies down on me. But see, he's not. He is innocent in this. He has integrity in this. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Selah. Or pause and think about that for a while. If I'm guilty, David says, then Lord, you bring it on me. Wow. Arise, O Lord. In thine anger lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. He is the judge. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. Is David saying that he's perfect? No. He's not saying that he's sinless. But he is saying before the Lord in this thing that he's been accused of by this man, he's saying, Lord, if I'm guilty, you deal with me. But Lord, you know I'm not guilty. Lord, you know in this thing I am righteous. See, it's along the line of what the Lord Jesus Christ did to those men that brought the woman taken in adultery. That's how we refer to it. And he wrote upon the ground, and he had behaved like he didn't hear what they said. They brought all their argument about what Moses said to do. And then the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And he's not talking about them being perfectly sinless. He's saying, in this matter, are you doing right? Are you doing what the Lord's commanded? Because where's your father, brother, uncle, cousin, friend, neighbor, whatever? Because you brought the woman, but you haven't brought the man. See? So what was it? They were all convicted by their conscience from the eldest to the least, and they walked out. But David's saying, I'm not guilty in this, Lord. Look what David's doing. He's pleading to the Lord, isn't he? He's not going over here and crying to this one. He's not going over there and crying to that one. But he's taking it to the Lord, isn't he? And he says, according to my innocence, Lord. Verse 8, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared him the instruments for him, the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own pate, or the crown of his head. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Do right. Obey the Lord. May the Lord help us that we be found in integrity. May we be found in innocence. Better is the poor that walketh in being innocent before God than he that is perverse, maybe wealthy, maybe sounds good, maybe of great influence, maybe has many friends in the world, but is perverse in his lips and is a fool. May the Lord help us in this, and may we be helped and encouraged by our brethren in the Scriptures and what the Lord's given us in it. May we have integrity. The Lord said it in a sense, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you love me, keep my commandments. Be perfect before me. And we know it, and we're not going to be sinlessly without sin, but we certainly can mortify this old flesh and mortify this old mind, and we can put down a lot of sin, can't we? And the world is going after sin and wickedness just by the day. Right. By the day, it's compounding. And may God help us that we shine brightly for the Lord. May the Lord help us in that.